God, as Tim and Dina share, we ask that you would speak, that you'd be heard. We thank you so much for Tim and Dina and our partnership with them and the things that you've done through them and the way you've blessed our congregation through them. We pray now, Lord, as they testify, as they encourage, as they point to your word, that you would be the one that's communicating to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love this church. I love you guys. This is an awesome place. How many of you are thankful for this place? It's beautiful. I'm going to go back. I'm going to share a little testimony that I had. We came stateside for our first sabbatical in 2010. And we took a year and came and lived in Florida. And helping our kids to live in this country. They'd never lived in the States. They'd come here on vacations, and we realized they didn't really see what it was really like because it was always family and playing and having fun and then going back. So when we got back in 2011 to Costa Rica, and I remember I was just, thinking and meditating or something at some point, and I just asked a prayer to the Lord. I said, Lord, was there something during the sabbatical that I didn't get? Was there something that I missed, you know? And I remember just thinking about it, and I felt the Lord, like in my heart, said, that was about teaching you to follow me. And I'm like, okay. You know, and I didn't remind him, but my couple seconds, my brain went, I've been serving full-time ministry for 22 years right now at this point. And I'm like, teaching, okay. And I've learned just to not do that and just shut up and go, Lord, can you expand on that? Just help me out. What are you saying in that? And as I explored that, it was like I got a vision. And of a huge park, like, say, what's this New York City park thing? Anyway, a big park, bunch of trees, rolling hills, people. And what I saw in the vision was the Father and the Son walking through this park. You know, and we always are praying for the kingdom of God. Come, your kingdom. And we learned that prayer, right? Your kingdom. You know, we were just singing, not my will, but your will be done. So I've come to understand that he is king. Whatever he's doing is a good thing, right? And Jesus didn't hide it. He says, you want to be my disciple? Follow me. Okay? So I know we get it wrong often. We want him to follow us. And so we got to learn to follow him. That's the plan. And so he's showing me, you know, and again, he goes, I was teaching you, 2010 was, I was teaching you to follow me. And I could talk on this for hours. How he prepared us for all this and how he put things in place and confirmed it. And I knew that it was authorized. This was God's time. But I'm like, did I miss anything? And so he gives me this vision. And I said, okay. And so here I am in the vision. I'm behind them, following them. And they're just meandering, doing whatever they want to do, you know. And I was following them up until when I wasn't. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, where you veer off, you go on your own thing, you miss it, you screw up. Or even religious. You know, like he said, what are you doing? You know, well, I'm doing this Bible study because I got to do this thing, or I got to go here, I got to go talk to somebody. Did I ask you to do that? Who are you following? And I remember, when I veered off, the Father and the Son, this is what was the most impacting to me, is they moved over to the nearest large tree, and they just leaned up against it, and they stopped moving. Okay, that's what I want you to consider. When we aren't following the Father and the Son in our lives, he stops moving. Okay? And I remember them, and they like just said, well, how long do you think it's going to be this time? You know, they weren't like joking or anything or even being mean, but it was just like, you know, when do you think we'll be able to get going again? And I remember going, and inside of my mind, like, oh, come on, Tim, get back in there. You know, I hope it's not more than 5 minutes or something, and get following them. And so as I meditated on that, I thought, and this is going to be a little heavy. This isn't about condemnation, not about judgment. I want to encourage everybody. I want everybody to follow Jesus. I think, isn't that one of the things you signed up for, Joel? You want people follow him? I want all of you to follow him. That's life. We're going to see his kingdom come and his will be done when we follow him. I'm reminded of building on the house on the rock and on the sand. Which one do you build on the rock? That's on him. The scriptures say, for the one who heard and does builds on the rock. The one who hears and doesn't do builds on the sand. They both hear. So, how do we know what the Lord's saying? Where is he going? What is he doing? I want to, in the strongest possible words, encourage you to join in prayer in this church. Come to the, you just announced like 3 or 4 different prayer things that are going on. Come. Pray. We just went and we're praying before the service. And there was my mom and dad and Steve and me and Dina. And guys, you know how much power there is in unity. And I'm not, again, this isn't about condemnation. Please don't take it as I'm judging or anything, because this is a hard thing. I think prayer is the hardest thing for the church to do. It's incredibly hard. And I'm learning, and I'm learning from my wife. Isn't she something? You guys, I mean, y'all agree. I mean, I'm really blessed. She has been pushing prayer at our church, or at our mission in Guatemala, in both countries. But setting times, it's like 5 times where we can come together and pray. Okay, and I don't go to all of them. Just telling you, I'm just saying. But do you guys want to see the kingdom of God come in Beltrami? Fertile in your homes, in your lives, in your children, and everything? It's going to happen when we start praying. And I'm not saying you're not praying, and you can pray at home. I mean, Jesus encourages that. Close the door. You know, pray in silent prayer, and that's good. There's something about corporate prayer. We've been following a church that's in North Georgia, and he has been preaching. They've had a revival going on. There's been healings. There's been all kinds of stuff is happening in this church. This guy was ready to throw in the towel 4 years ago. It was successful. It was growing, but it was like nothing was happening. And he was just like, I got it. And he got on his face and prayed, and the Lord gave him a vision and for him. And I'm not going to go into that, but God gave him a vision. And from that, the Lord spoke, and they started baptizing people in water and in fire, is what the Lord said to do. And they just started doing what the Lord said to do, following him. And so it's, what's the Lord saying to this church? What's he saying? You know, and your pastor has got the College of Prayer, and there's things that have been going on, and I just want to just yell, join in. Join in. He says, you want to follow me? You know what he said? He says, pick up a cross, deny yourself, and follow me. What does that mean? It's telling your body, get to prayer. Get up, sacrifice, carry the cross, and follow me. What's he saying? He's not talking to me. Are you praying? Are you taking time? Are you obeying? Are you hearing and then doing? That's building on the rock. And I just want to encourage you guys. I'm seeing what's going on in this North Georgia. They have a prayer time, and I want to tell you, don't limit your prayer times. Don't say, oh, well, we got to do it, and everybody's got to pray, and we do whatever, you know, and have some routines. Mix it up. It doesn't say you have to do, you know, the Lord's Prayer is a guide. And we just sang, and it's worship. That's the second thing. The first thing is they say, Father. So you've accepted him into you acknowledge him as authority in your life. And then the second one is worship. And the third one is, your kingdom come, not my will be done. Your kingdom, Lord, that's in heaven, I want it to happen here in my family. I want my family to hear your voice. It says in Ephesians, our battle is not against flesh and blood. So if you're angry with people that cut you off or neighbors that are, you know, rude, he says, forgive them. He says, forgive them. The same way that you forgive people that stomp on your head is the same way I forgive you. That's the Lord's Prayer. So if you're not forgiving people, fix that, you know, and forgive. And then battle. We got an enemy of darkness. There's bondages, there's addictions, there's stuff we got to pray. We need prayer. Costa Rica, see there, honey? Come up. This is a baton. I love you guys, and I just want to encourage you. We need you guys. We need you coming together and pray. Like in their church, they would come and say they'd set up a time, have the sound, have low music on, just come in here and walk around. Just use this place to pray. Amen. Amen. She's on.
Good morning. It is super good to be here. It's hard to follow that, actually, because that is my heartbeat. Or I guess it's not hard to follow it, but it's just to say amen to all of that. I'm going to go just a little bit direction or veer off and then come back around. First of all, I just want to say thanks for the opportunity for us to share with you all. Every time we walk into this place, it's like a big family that just goes, and you have no idea how that ministers to the heart of Tim, myself, and it encourages us and it lifts us up and it fills us up so that we can go back to do what God has called us to do. The scripture says in Psalm 36:9, it says, and this is the New Living Translation, it says, for you are the fountain of life. Changing that word fountain to source. You are the source of life. Who? The Father. The light by which we see. That has been a scripture that over the last year has been fundamental for us in Hogar de Vida in Guatemala. I'm going to share mostly about Hogar de Vida Guatemala simply because the Lord gifted us the opportunity to stay there for one full year. The last time we were here, we were coming out of COVID. We had freedom to leave Guatemala after 8 months of being inside of that country, and we came stateside. And then fast forward to January of 2021, we went to Guatemala. We just sensed that had an invitation, said, you need to put your feet on the ground of Hogar de Vida in San Andres. And so we went in January, February, and the Lord just said, you know, it's time for you to go back there. We had lost, you all know that we had lost our director, and they were still in a place of just struggling. And so the Lord just directed us to go move back there, and I took on the director role once again with a purpose. It's called interim director, not director, interim director, because our heartbeat is always that the nationals do it, that the nationals do what they need to do, because we will never be the same as a national in language and culture and all of those things. The culture of the kingdom, yes, but not the culture of the land. And so that's been our heartbeat, is to come alongside the people, the team that God has put in place, that one day I will walk out of that role once again. Last week, we had an opportunity to, in this church, what a blessing to hear about the lives of young men. Young men, older men, middle-aged men. And I was so impacted because, you know, there are times when you go, I wonder if what we're doing really has value. Everybody, anybody of you ever thought that? You go, you know, all of this that we're doing, does it really have value? You could put that picture of the people in the on the mountain. And I realized, listening to them, that all of those men had been dropped. All of those men had placed some kind of trauma in their life. Some of them shared a little bit about it, but I can guarantee you, those men could be children that come into Hogar de Vida down the road if they don't know Jesus, if they don't have an opportunity to know Jesus at this age or at this age. And I was just once again encouraged, what you do has value. Because you are a part of us, what you do with us has value. That is a picture of the worship team in our local church. The left side, your left side, the first one is Josefa. She's part of Hogar de Vida today, getting her education. The next one is Blanca. Blanca is a young woman fired up for Jesus, passionate for the things of God that Resurrection Free has been a part of for many years. She's also night shift staff for me. The next one is Edding, grew up in Hogar de Vida. He's our cook. The next one is Santiago, grew up in Hogar de Vida. He is a multifaceted young man. He could do anything he puts his hand to. God has gifted him. The next one is Luis, grew up in Hogar de Vida. The next one is Melissa. She's 15, growing up in Hogar de Vida. And the next two are the pastor and another young man. This is fruit of the kingdom of God. These are young men and women that will take what we are seeding in them to their community and probably to the world. They all have a call on their lives. And that's because the children's home has an opportunity to take children that have passed through trauma to say, you have value. You have purpose. And it's because of one name, the name of Jesus. That is who we are. And that is what is happening in Hogar de Vida. You are the fountain of life, it says in Psalm 36. But there's often a source or a fountain. You have to connect to that. We have a well in just like here on the farm. And the well has the source of water. But you have to have a pump and lines in order for it to come to the faucet. The question today is, are we connected to the source? Am I connected to that source? Are you connected to that source? Because Jesus is the only source of real, true life. Life physically, life emotionally, life mentally, life spiritually. And often we forget, or we're not intentional about connecting to that source. And for me, that's where prayer comes in. One of the things as we went to, can you show the one of the little, the kids? As we went into Hogar de Vida, the Lord highlighted three things. And the first one was, rebuild the spiritual walls. You know, you can have the best program, you can have the best therapy, you can have the best clothes and food and everything. But if we don't give them Jesus, then why are we there? Bottom line, because Jesus is the one that will go with them when they leave. And Jesus is the eternal. And you do it by forming little children. You form them. Our saying is, you can't give what you don't have. So again, it's fill us up, the caregivers, the people that are there, so therefore you can give it away to the children. At that age, they learn the name of Jesus. You know, the one with the kids with their hands up. At that age, they learn how to worship Jesus. And those seeds bring healing and restoration. The name of Jesus brings life to them. And that's what they do. They will all leave one day. It's a temporary home. But we're depositing them in them who is eternal. And his name is Jesus. I don't know how long we'll be there. Only God knows that. But in the process, first of all, we're building up the spiritual walls. Begins with one. Revival begins with one. And then two. And then a community. And then the world. Then you said build a team. Caregiving is not one person. It's a team of people. And so the part of building a team is difficult sometimes when there's three things that are real, that often come against a team: envy, jealousy, and competition. And the invitation was, we all have value. If your job is administrative or the cook, the cleaner or the caregiver, it doesn't matter. We are a team. You have value. What you do has value, even though your responsibilities might be different. It's the same thing in this community of faith. We all have a place to play. We are the team. We are the body. Find your niche and give it, because that brings what your end goal is. In Hogar de Vida, it's about taking care of children, forming children, being the instrument of God's healing. But in this community, just like there, the end goal is the heart of the Father. And what is that? That not one man perish, but that all have an opportunity to come to the knowledge of you or of the Father. That's our mission and vision and the end goal, but that needs to be ours here too. Right here in this community. The person that you maybe pass, go in their line in Walmart or something, but it's about being light and salt right where we are. But the source of all that light and salt is our connection with the source of light and salt. His name is Jesus. And I just want to echo what Tim said. Individual prayer is muy, very important, muy importante. But corporate prayer brings power, even more so. And it is one of the things I heard quoted recently, and I believe it, what the enemy is afraid of is a praying church. The enemy is not afraid of very many things, but a praying church he is afraid of. And so I want to encourage you, and first of all, say thank you. And it requires risk. The picture of Tim and the gentleman, it requires faith and it requires trust. That is a picture of a pickup that was filled by you all. I just want to say thank you. From everything that was in there, from tools to maybe there was handy wipes, I don't know. I was not there when it was unloaded. But it was full to the gills. But before that, but as you filled it, then you had to trust somebody unknown to drive it through Mexico all the way down into Guatemala. That gentleman, what's his name? Fernando. That gentleman, Fernando, was a gift of God to us. He drove it all the way, and he met Tim at a Shell station about an hour and a half from San Andres. Tim put his hand controls in it, drove it home, and Fernando went on to Guatemala City. But that whole story required trust at many levels. Probably the most for Gene and Scott, when they had to give these keys to somebody unknown, full of things that you did. But that's what the Father says. Do you trust me? Not do you trust the person, but do you trust me? Step out on the water. Do it. The economy of God is different than the economy of the world. And he is calling us in this day. We are in a time when we cannot be silent. The church have to look different than the world. We can't look like the world. We need to react and respond differently. And how is that difference? The standard of the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God is our foundation. And maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but I think I need reminding, and maybe you do too, how much of us are intentionally in the Word of God. Do we know it? Is it a part of us? Is it saturated in us? All of you Sunday school teachers, may the anointing of God be all over you, because you get an opportunity to teach the young children and the youth that tomorrow or even today will need to know what is right and what is wrong, the Word. That, together with prayer, is what will make resurrection free a greater light than it already is, greater saltier salt than it already is, for what? the kingdom of God. You are a part of us. We have an opportunity to touch many lives down in Central America. But it's not about that. It's about a ripple effect. And your part is important as our part. So when you hear the voice of the Lord, obey. So that you are planted when the storms come, because I promise you they will. And if we read the word, it's going to get darker. But we're going to shine lighter because Jesus is in us. So I just want to say thank you again for seeding into Blanca. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sending. And thank you for praying. There's a little sheet. Thank you, Wendy. She helped us design this. One side is Costa Rica and one side is Guatemala. They're in the back. I just want you to take it for one reason. I want you to pray for us. Those of you that have been there, when you see this, the face of a child or a caregiver, would you just stop and pray for us when the Holy Spirit brings this to mind? You can change the world from Beltrami, Minnesota, in San Andres, through prayer. So thank you once again for allowing us to be here. Thank you for always welcoming us. Thank you for being a part of us. And thank you for being light and salt in this community. May the kingdom of God continue to be established through each one of us where God has planted us. You are the fountain of life. You are the light by which we see. If you need clarity, direction, it comes in a name. His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity, the freedom, the encouragement to press on. Father, we are not them that shrink back. We are not them that take our hand off the plow. But we are the body that will continue on because you have called us. I pray, Father, for us a fresh anointing in this fall season, a hunger for the word of God, a hunger to know the principles in your word, a hunger to be in your presence, a hunger to commune with you. We were created by you and for you first, for communion and for relationship with you. And out of that, Father, we will give it away to the people that are around about us. Pray for a fresh anointing over Resurrection Free. Every family, every ministry, every farm, every profession, every job, every child, young adult. Father, I thank you for the youth. Lord God, today we ask that you by your Spirit, as you have promised, will continue to teach us and guide us. Would you take the stoppers out of our ears and the blinders off of our eyes that we might see and receive what the Spirit of God is saying. Thank you, Father. Afresh and anew, we give ourselves to you and say, use us. We belong to you. You don't owe us anything. You own us. Thank you, Father. Bless your name. For the purpose that your kingdom would be established and that people might know you, Father, through Jesus, by the conviction and power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.